Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another issue of Comic Chronicle. Today, guys, I want to go over the show Legion with you, but I'm not going to be doing it by myself today. Today, we're going to have a special guest, a reoccurring guest, the one, the only, Mr. Quinn Allen, a.k.a. Kid Apocalypse. Now, I'm going to get a hold of him here on Skype for you guys as well. It's going to be just a minute, but we're going to be going over... as the Skype rings. Hopefully this is going to be spoiler filled, so be warned, guys, be warned on this. Hello? Hello?
Hey, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you, good man?
Doing just fine. Just give me 1 second, actually. I'm trying to tell this thing that I'm using headphones and it's not... Alright, let's try that again.
Okay.
Hey, there you are. All right, that works.
Sweet. All right. Yeah, just want to be safe on there. Yeah, damn headphones, they can stringly in your sleep. You never know sometimes.
That's right. Cool, man.
All right, so as I just introduced, guys, we got Mr. Quinn Allen here. Give him a good hello, man.
Well, thanks, everyone.
Today, guys, we're going to be going over the show Legion. So to get started, kind of before we dive deep into it, how did you think of it?
I thought Legion was fantastic. You know, it's honestly been not only one of my favorite, live-action X-Men adaptations, I think it's also probably one of my favorite television series I've seen in the past few years. I just think that it was handled very well. I think it was a little unusual that they chose that character, and that is the story that they chose to tell, but I'm happy that they did, because I really do feel that it just brought something completely new and different, and I'm willing to guess that a fair amount of people who might have seen the show had no idea that it was even connected to the X-Men universe. That was how distinct they made it, and I was really appreciative of that.
Yeah, totally agree on that. I mean, it really stands alone in the X universe. I mean, like we talked about before in our previous interview, we both said, like, Legion's a weird character to work with. I mean, like, you want to say you want to work with Legion... and then you bring in the certain villain that they brought into that we'll get into later. Like, my God.
Yeah. And yeah, it was handled very well. It was tastefully done. And, you know, I think there's enough in there for people who are fans of the comic books to really dig into. But then again, like I said, like, you could probably have never read a comic and you could still really dig the show. I think they just had such a, from start to finish, they just had such a stylized way of going about this. I mean, everything from the opening credits to the choice of music, yeah, to the choice of actors, they really, really went all out with it, and I think the results are fantastic.
Yeah, they really, really outdid themselves on this. Getting into some details, man, I mean, like you said, the cast is great. I mean, fantastic cast. Dan Stevens, I believe his name is, for who plays Legion.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All of them. I mean, I can't think of one that I didn't like in a performance.
And he's kind of blowing up right now. You know, he was the Beast in the Beauty and the Beast live-action adaptation.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's got a lot going on for him right now. And the inclusion of that guy whose name escapes me from Flight of the Conchords,
yes,
was just absolutely amazing. The first episode with him in it, where he's just doing, like, beat poetry at the camera, I was just so blown away because, you have no idea what you're watching, but it's amazing.
Yeah.
And he plays that part so incredibly well.
Yeah, like, it always, that's another part about the show. It keeps you on your toes. Like, you don't know what to expect next. Like, you're thinking you know what's going to happen. Like, it's another, like, normal TV show where you can predict what's going to happen, and you can't. Like, it just takes a turn, and it takes a turn, and it takes a turn, and it takes a turn, and keeps you wondering and wanting more.
Absolutely. I mean, even if you're like me and you're only sort of passively familiar with David as a comic book character,
yeah,
you know, I knew about him. I knew that he was this sort of schizophrenic mutant. You know, I knew that he started the Age of Apocalypse universe in the comics and all that, but I never read a lot of New Mutants or any of the books that he was featured prominently in. I think I have, like, the first issue of Legion, which was, I think it was I think I have Legion Quest, which was X-Men number 40 or something like that.
Yeah.
From after post-90s. Anyway, so I know who he is, but, like, I wasn't, like, a big fan of his or anything, but I think what they did with the show that was really fun is that, like, you know, they were playing around with this idea at first that, is he actually crazy, or is he just a mutant? And, you know, or is it both? You know, and I think that's, like, kind of awesome, because for those of us who kind of have a familiarity with the character, you're kind of going, okay, I think that even that the heroes, they want, like, to tell him that, no, you're not crazy, you're just a mutant, and you've been told wrong your whole life. Yeah. But there's that element of, like, is he, though? Because I think he might also actually be crazy.
Yeah, so. He's got that crazy side to him. Why, they may be right, but he does have that crazy side still to him. I mean, you clearly see that. Well, we're going to obviously talk about spoilers in here, but... Think about it. We just saw the Shadow King in live action. Did you think we'd see this?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, he's a character that especially comes up a lot in, like, if you remember Rick Remender's Uncanny X-Force and all that, you know, stuff. He came up a lot in that time because he was kind of messing around in Archangel's mind and stuff. And you know, I can even remember, like, X-Men the Animated Series episodes with Storm's sort of, you know, battles with the Shadow King. So it's really cool. In fact, like, I felt that there was some imagery there in the episode where we see David drawing on the chalkboard and what is likely Xavier battling the Shadow King.
Yeah.
It almost felt reminiscent of some of the, like, I think there was an episode in the animated series where we see in the sort of astral plane, we see Xavier in, like, a gladiator kind of costume fighting off this monstrous version of the Shadow King. And that kind of, like, brought that back for me when I was seeing that part on the chalkboard in the episode, which was really cool. So yeah, I you know, let me ask you this. Did you guess it? Did you guess that it was going to be Shadow King before they revealed it?
I had suspicions because, like, the only thing I thought of was, like, he was wearing black, telekinetic, and then had, like, the yellow eyes because he had, like, there's some incarnations. Like, he was wearing, obviously, he was, like, the fat man, they called him at some point. But the yellow eyes and then wearing a tattered black. That kind of did it for me. And I was thinking, I was like, God, what's it? And it seemed very familiar. Like, it could pinpoint on something. And I looked up, like, kind of X-Men villains going through, like, God, there's got to be something. Maybe, like, it was a small character or something like that. And I found, like, looking, like, oh, God, that's Shadow King. And, like, I think it was, like, two episodes later, they were like, oh, yeah, it's Fahmud Daruk, I think his name is. And then it's, like, a.k.a. the Shadow King. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, oh, my God. That, I didn't see it coming at first, though. At first, I was kind of like, maybe it's one of his multiple personalities, like, from the books. Like, we know that if you read the books. That's what I figured it was. And then when he started seeing his friend, I'm, like, thinking, like, oh, maybe she's a good personality, which I was proven terribly wrong in that one.
That's true. Yeah, and I kind of, like, you know, I had that. I think with me, it was, like, when I first saw their, like, interpretation of the Shadow King in his mind as that yellow-eyed demon or whatever, that, like, kind of fat-looking weird thing.
Yeah.
The first image I remember of seeing it is, like, in the flashbacks of him being in the kitchen before he makes all the kitchenware sort of explode.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing that thing in the corner as he's, like, kind of chilling there, and I was like, okay, there's no way that's Mojo, right? Because it kind of reminds me of Mojo, and there's just I know this is a crazy, wild show, but there's no way they'd be so crazy as to include Mojo in this show.
You never know. I mean, they could later on if they hear this and they put him in.
But
I mean,
I was, after I was, like, told myself, there's just no way that is going to be Mojo, I was sort of, going through the list of, like, okay, it's sort of attacking him on a psychic plane, so... You know, who else could that be? And I was like, oh, okay, it's got to be Shadow King. But, yeah, I still didn't really, like, know it was him until, you know, until they kind of revealed it. And I was like, right on, that's pretty awesome that they included the Shadow King.
It was kind of funny because when they said his name, like, the, oh, I can't remember his name, but there was a lot of characters in there to try to remember. But there, it was the, there were two guys, and they were talking in, like, in the realm, and they were saying, he said it was a Shadow King. And, like, the other guys and the other people all knew who he was. So, like, how did they know who he was? Or, like, is he famous among, like, the mutant community? Like, the Shadow King, it's like, oh, crap. Like, we know who this man is. Because maybe, maybe a battle with Professor X happened and the world knew about it. Or mutants knew about it or something.
Right.
I mean, that tells you.
It seems like he's lost his corporeal form at this point. He only exists as, like they said, sort of a psychic parasite. So
yeah.
Really, really, really cool idea. Very bold. I'm very curious to know, like, if they're gonna continue on with him actually having multiple personalities, you know, in the comic book that is actually a part of his character, you know, and he actually winds up sort of absorbing personalities from other people throughout the comics.
Yeah.
And oftentimes in the comics, we find out then when another personality sort of takes hold of his mind and kind of gets control of him, they also manifest different powers, which is why in the comics he's not only been telepathic, but he's had telekinesis, he's had pyrokinesis. I think he had the ability to time travel, as you know, what is what started the whole Age of Apocalypse universe. So
yeah.
I'm curious if they're going to go on with that, or if we're supposed to believe that, yeah, he kind of seemed like he had multiple personalities all this time because Shadow King, but maybe now that Shadow King's out of him, like, is he just going to be normal, or is David still crazy? That's kind of
That's it. I mean, at the end, in the season finale, I mean, obviously, once he gets rid of the Shadow King, he has all these, like, you see him do all these different powers and whatnot, so, but it, you didn't see anything multiple personality, so who knows how they're doing. I mean, it's Fox, so hopefully they don't pull one of their things like in the movies of they take out core things of a character, and hopefully they don't do that. But
yeah, I think they know they've got a good thing going. They've had a lot of good response from this, so I think I'm pretty sure they're just going to let, you know, the creative team that's working on it right now keep doing what they're doing until it doesn't work anymore, you know. Mm-hmm. So
oh yeah.
I also have to say I loved the choice of like stylistic music that they put throughout it.
Yes.
Like, you know, the inclusion of the Rainbow Connection with David playing it on the banjo and the astral plane was like haunting yet like funny yet cool. I really liked that. And then I also was actually, I sort of loved slash hated the fact that they included a very, very beautiful cover of David Bowie's Oh You Pretty Things at the end of one of the episodes. I don't recall which, but that is the song that sort of leads out into the credits and then plays through the credits in one of the episodes. And
yeah,
it was done on like a piano with a female voice. And it was a beautiful rendition. I loved it. But I have to say it kind of made me mad because that's something I've always wanted to use as like a sample in one of my songs. Because like if you really pay attention to like David Bowie's lyrics, it kind of sounds like he's talking about mutants.
Yeah.
He makes a lot of reference to like, you know, gotta make way for the homo superior, you know, and that kind of stuff. Like all the strangers came today and it looks like they're here to stay. That kind of stuff. It was like... I remember hearing those lyrics and really paying attention going, oh my god, was David Bowie reading a bunch of X-Men comics when he wrote this?
I mean, with the man, who knows at this point, but yeah, that I've seen that. You can still probably use it. I mean, maybe people remember that one episode, but I think you might still be in the clear, don't worry.
I think we kind of snuck it in, you know, sort of as slickly as we could into one of the tracks from our last album, Regenesis.
Yeah.
Jared, in his track, he does the Xavier track that he's got. He says something about, I think he says, he just uses the line, gotta make way for Homo Superior.
Yeah.
So, which is supposed to be a very slight nod to that song without us totally just ripping, you know, part of the song out. But
yeah, and then comes lawsuits and everything like that. And we
exactly.
don't want that. No. Okay. Here's something I want to ask, because to me, this is what it seemed like with the character Melanie and her kind of like hideaway house for mutants.
Right.
Was she the show's version of Professor Xavier, which we have, it's kind of confirmed he's in the universe. You saw his wheelchair, you saw the drawings and whatnot, but do you think that since they didn't know if they were going to be able to bring him in, they're like, well, let's make nods, but Melanie's kind of the Professor X with her kind of hideaway house and then also that window that they kept using in different scenes throughout the later episodes of there being a giant X in the window.
Yeah, I think they just wanted to keep the X motif running throughout the whole visual design just to kind of remind you that, like, yep, this is, in fact, in the X-Men universe.
Yeah.
You know, so I think they were kind of throwing that in there. If anything, I almost got more of a sense of this is, like, almost kind of like an older Emma Frost when, you know, because she had her own school for a while in the comics as well with the Stepford Cuckoos or whatever, you know, and so that kind of, like, just because she dresses in all white, you know, and she's sort of got lighter colored hair. That was just the vibe that I kept getting from it, was that, like, oh, it's kind of like how Emma Frost split off from Xavier School and kind of had her own thing going there. I think that was, what, back in Grant Morrison's? In Grant Morrison's, she was part of the X-Men.
Yeah.
I don't recall what point she had her own school, but I know she did at one point.
Oh, yeah. See, I never would have thought of that. That kind of blew my mind at the moment, I'm not going to lie. Like, I would never have thought it. And I love Emma Frost, in a way.
Yeah.
But, man.
Yeah, it made me think of, like, oh, because we don't really know the timeline here. We don't know, like, when this is supposed to take place. In fact, obviously, they were going out of their way in those first couple episodes to just really mess with you on to, like, not be able to place when this is set. You know, I had a friend who doesn't really know anything about the character, but had watched the first episode and was like, and he was like, yeah, I couldn't figure out if this was in the 1960s or what. I was like, exactly. And I think the point there was just that in the first few episodes, they really want you to be experiencing this world through David's perspective, where, like, things just don't add up and they don't make sense and everything's a little bit confusing, which was brilliant. It's, like, a brilliant way to do your production design to sort of match the character's perspective. But it's still true that we don't know when this takes place, I don't think. in the, like, main X-Men continuity. Like, for all we know, this could be after the events of, say, you know, the end of Days of Future Past or something like that.
Yeah, that's it. Like, because that I thought was really great on that. But you kind of get a sense, I think it's kind of in the 70s, maybe 80s a little bit at the end of this season, I think. Maybe next season we'll kind of see, but that you summed it up perfectly with David's experience of the world.
Yeah, and I think it's a little hard to tell because some of the tech that they have seems relatively modern, if not even almost a little more futuristic.
Yeah.
You know, what was the name of the sort of villain group? Do you remember they just were called them like Q6 or something? I don't remember what they...
District 3 or District 13.
Oh, yeah, something like that. Yeah, like, but those guys like kind of seem to have some, you know, some pretty modern technology when they were interrogating him in that episode before they put him in the pool and stuff.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes me think that it's supposed to be set in the, you know, 21st century, if not maybe a little further. But but yeah.
Yeah.
Certainly some of the wardrobe design, the costume choices definitely look a little older. So
yeah,
which is cool. It just gives it its own really interesting flavor and aesthetic that works really well for it. Their color palette throughout the show is genius. Like just. The you know, you almost notice that they keep throwing David in like almost like parallels of Wolverine's costume. Like you'll have like sort of an orange and tan, brown and gold kind of look in some of his costumes. And some of them are like black and yellow. Some of them are so.
That's right. Oh my God. See, yeah, I watched the show and I'm a big X-Men fan, but that's why I wanted you on here because you're making these parallels and I'm like, holy shit! Like I'm gonna rewatch the season and see all this. Like it makes so much sense now.
Well, it's worth it. It's totally worth it to watch it again.
Oh, God, yeah. Show it to people. Like, here, watch this show. Like, what? Just watch it. Trust me, you're good. Things about the mutants in this show is I liked, and unless I know some series of X-Men, we've had mutants with weird powers. Obviously, that's a given. But in this show, they actually, it's not like common, except for one of them who had telekinesis that we saw in the beginning and small parts throughout the show. They kind of have, like, different sets of powers we haven't really seen before in a live-action X-Men, like, movie
That's
or
true.
Anything.
That's true. You know, the female lead, whose name escapes me, she kind of has almost like a rogue-like power, but instead of, like, taking their powers, she, like, literally swaps identities with them.
Yeah.
But she's got that kind of, you know, curse to never touch somebody. So it seems familiar in a way, because she always has to wear the gloves and can't be close to somebody. Which is obviously a storyline that they kind of milked with the whole Gambit and Rogue thing, you know, throughout the comics. But you're right, yeah, like the guy and the girl who are one person who can split off from each other, you know, that seems kind of cool. A little bit closer to like Multiple Man, but Multiple Man obviously is making like copies of himself rather than an actual separate identity living inside of him.
Yeah.
But all that was pretty good. And then you're right, and then a couple of the characters have kind of almost what seems like your run-of-the-mill, you know, telepathy or telekinesis or something.
Yeah, then the one of Dream Powers, too. He was, I can't remember his name, but yeah, he was a very interesting character in that.
Yeah, I kind of liked that they, you know, in some episodes I felt that character was, like, a little flat. I felt like he was a little one-note and almost, like, erred on the side of, like, he didn't seem to be operating in the same fashion in other episodes where they kind of, like, gave him more to do. I liked that he was the one guy on the team that, like, doesn't really trust David. That's sort of like, I don't think we should be messing around with this. And, you know, if David leaves and gets himself in trouble, we shouldn't go help him, you know. And so, you know, it was a good perspective, but I think they probably could have done a little more with his character, too, because other times he just seemed to be acting almost out of character.
Yeah.
But all around, still really liked it. Thought it was great.
Yeah, that was, he had a great-ass power, too. You never expect, you think, like, you're gonna see, like, a guy with, like, laser vision, like a Cyclops or something like that, and then you get all these cool stuff, and you're like, what? Like, and they don't really give you the classics, but I love that. Now, here's the thing, though. Would you like to see, we've mentioned it, would you like to see Professor X on the show? Or do you think maybe they could do other nods, like maybe they could have, they won't bring him on, but say they bring a Juggernaut on, and like he's trying to find Professor X's kid, obviously to get back at his brother and whatnot, you know, because obviously he's evil. So like, do you think you'd like to see that, or any other X-Men characters, or do you think probably leave him be?
That's a tough one. I don't know. You know, like I said, David's character started in the New Mutants, and then he switched over to, oh gosh, can I remember the other X title that he became a part of?
I know he was in X-Men Legacy recently.
Right, but I'm talking like back after he first debuted. They debuted him in New Mutants, and then he moved over to, gosh, there's so many X teams, I can't keep them straight anymore.
Yeah, back in the day, Jesus, yeah.
Yeah, so, I think he's kind of always been a sort of fringe character that never really made it, you know, onto, like, the main teams. Mm-hmm. They might try to just keep him away from, you know, I think this is their creative space to do something different than the cinematic universe. So, yeah. I don't know if they'll have a lot of crossover. I know that, you know, Patrick Stewart claims that he's done with the character. I did hear something that he said that there was a way where he might feel comfortable coming on the show Legion, so...
Yeah, he said he'd do it. He said he'd come on, he was confirmed, yeah, he said in an interview he would come back as Professor X on Legion because he likes the show.
Yeah, and who wouldn't, because the show is just really, it's doing so well.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's obviously really well-liked, so it would be a smart move for him.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I guess I could probably do without it, or maybe even, like, a different actor, you know, just because it just feels like this world they've established is pretty distinct from the cinematic one, and I know it is technically set in the same universe, but I kind of like it being its own sort of pocket universe right now, and I don't know if I really want to see a lot of crossover right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that does make sense. I mean, you never know what's going to happen down the road. I think the best thing that they did was, they didn't say that Professor X, but they showed the wheelchair.
Right.
I think that's kind of like their biggest thing they're going to have. I heard that they're not going to connect too much of the comic books in the next season, though. That one, I do have written down here, so they're not going to take too much from the books, but they're still going to take some from the books.
Right.
So who knows what that could mean? Who knows? Maybe we'll see a glimpse, or like, if you ever seen the show Supergirl in season one, they did, when she was talking to Clark Kent Superman, it was like an email thing. Maybe they'll do something with that. Who knows? So it says, like, email thing. It's like, hey, I'm your dad, or something like that, or who knows?
Right.
But...
The thing is, like, I know a lot of people, like myself included at times, get, you know, David Hale's character confused with Proteus, who's, like, another sort of bastard of Xavier.
Yeah.
And I think in the Ultimate Universe, I believe they combined those two characters.
You think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, I think Legion and Proteus were the same character in that one. So it would be funny if they somehow brought Proteus into it, and it was just like two dudes who've been abandoned by Xavier just griping about it, you know, with their daddy issues.
That has to happen. That has to happen. That's got to be season two. Come on. Come on. The way they're going with this show, they brought on a Shadow King. If they don't bring on him, then they're losing out on a special episode on that.
Right. What if they brought Moira McTaggart into it? I mean, this is sort of her realm, you know? She kind of deals with sickly mutants at times, so.
Yeah.
We haven't seen her since what? Was she in Days of Future Past?
She was not in Days of Future Past. She was in First Class, and she was also in Apocalypse.
Oh, Apocalypse, that was the other one.
I think that actress could come onto the show. I mean, I'm not discrediting her at all. I mean, she's a phenomenal and big actress, but I mean, she could come on. If they're going to get Patrick Stewart, maybe.
Right.
She can come on, too, and maybe play one episode or something like that. I mean,
well, we live in a different climate now. You know, there was a stigma in Hollywood for a long time that, like, TV somehow was beneath doing film.
That's
and that
true.
If you were a TV actor, you were, like, somehow less, you know, of an artist than you if you were working in movies. But I think that climate has changed dramatically as services like Netflix and Amazon are developing their own original content. Obviously, you know, Marvel's properties are huge money makers for companies. So if these things are, like, doing really well, like, you know, the way we all loved Jessica Jones and, you know, Daredevil and the Netflix series, you know, and so I think this is, like, people realize that, like, where the money's at, you know, and this is what people seem to really dig. Mm. And, you know, you think about even, like, limited run series and stuff. They got Jude Law on that HBO show, The Young Pope, you know, and stuff. And he's a pretty big name actor.
Yeah.
You know, but HBO, I guess, is always kind of something different because it's not really normal network television.
Yeah, HBO is kind of that separate country.
Billy Bob Thornton was on an episode of Big Bang Theory, you know. It's like, it can happen.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, everyone's been on the Big Bang Theory. It's starting to turn into The Simpsons. I mean, you're not famous until you've been on the Big Bang Theory, apparently.
Right. Which is funny, yeah, because that kind of used to be a joke in Hollywood that everybody does Star Trek, because at one point, and, you know, there were so many Star Trek shows in a row that just sort of, like, it was not that hard to get on to Star Trek at one point if you were an actor in Hollywood. And so it was sort of like, oh, everybody does Star Trek. And it's true, if you go back and look at, like, the Next Generation, Famke Jensen, who plays, of course, Jean Grey in the X-Men universe, she was in an episode of Star Trek Next Generation. Mm-hmm. A very young Kirsten Dunst was on an episode of Star Trek Next Generation.
Oh, shit, that's right.
As you watch it again, you know, you can kind of pick out, like, oh my gosh, there's these actors who hadn't yet made a name for themselves, yet make their way onto these, you know, network TV shows. So
you're
it's a
gonna
good
make,
place to cut your teeth on.
You're going to make me binge watch that show again. Oh my gosh.
You should. I would love to be on the next Star Trek show that they're making now. So if anyone out there can make that happen for me, I'm happy to audition.
Yeah, get him. He's the big famous one here. Come on. Put him on the show.
I've had some people watch some videos of me on the internet. I don't know if that counts as fame.
These days, you can get a celebrity deal with that, my friend. So I think so. I mean, how many celebrities and people that are millionaires right now? I mean, come on. That Catch Me Outside, how about that girl's a millionaire at this point?
Yeah, that would be something.
Yeah, Jesus. All right, I got a question though for you, man. This kind of ties into the question of, like, maybe X-Men characters and whatnot. Who would you like to see in season two, and what do you think they're going to do in season two? Because personally, myself, as a villain that they put in, if they did Shadow King, I mean, everything's on the table. Like, anything's on the table at this point. In season two, I'll let you go first on that.
Well, I mean, we've got this group of sort of reject mutants, you know? Like, they're misfits. I think that's kind of the whole theme here, is that these aren't people that, like, you know, you're going to see, you know, on the main X-Men team going out there and getting all the glory. These are the people that are kind of fighting an ugly fight. And in that way, it kind of reminds me of a lot of the X-Force teams, which have always been sort of more Black Ops, clandestine type, you know, characters.
Yeah.
So maybe pulling a little bit more from some of the X-Force ideas. You know, obviously not the big ones like Cable. We talked about Domino and your love of Domino in the last interview. But, you know, even some of the more modern versions of the teams that they've done would be kind of cool as well. I don't know, like Phantom X is like kind of a really cool, misunderstood sort of lone wolf mutant character. So it wouldn't be horrible to see a Phantom X out there, especially if they go so far as to have the like spaceship that he like coughs up out of his mouth or whatever, and then has some sort of sentience that's like part of his brain. That's pretty awesome. I would watch that.
Yeah, Jesus, I never thought about that. Phantom X on Legion, like maybe just for if it's just for an episode, they can take all my money. Like Phantom X, like we live in this world now that I would see Phantom X on there. I can perhaps see him coming on. Maybe
I can also see them like using like, you know, again sort of touching onto that Remender's run on Uncanny X-Force. There was that version of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants that had like Daken and it had Sabretooth, but also like kind of some forgotten about mutants like the Skinless Man. I could easily see the Skinless Man being like a really creepy, effective villain for the show.
That would work.
Because they're going for that. They're going for this like kind of unsettling creepiness. They definitely had that running throughout the whole first season. But yeah, or maybe some of the other, like I said, lesser known mutants that existed on teams that aren't your like A-list teams. So the New Mutants or the I don't know, some of the other ones. It would be interesting.
I don't think we're going to see any New Mutants because I don't know if you saw the news. I think it came out today. They began pre-production on the New Mutants movie.
Oh, did they? Yeah, I did. I don't think I knew that. I knew that Inhumans was in the works, but I didn't hear about New Mutants.
Yeah, New Mutants is officially a go now because they were talking about it, then they didn't know if they were going to do it, and then apparently it released today. They said, "Oh, we began pre-production today. Like we now get a New Mutants movie." I was going to say maybe we could see one or two of them, not connected to the X-Men yet, but kind of before they join. So maybe one of them pop up on the show, but I don't think they're going to do that if they got the movie coming out.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Or they might do it just because they know that the show is pretty successful and it might be a good stepping stone to like help promote whatever movie they're trying to do next.
That's
you know?
Right. That's right. A little self promotion never hurts.
Yeah, cross promotion.
Yeah.
Or what about who was on X Factor? I'm trying to think like.
Oh crap.
You know who I'd love to see in this TV series? I'm going to tell you my number one pick right now. You ready?
Yeah. Let's go.
I would like to see Dupe.
Oh, shit. Oh, my
God. Where's Dupe? That's what I want to see.
Oh, my God. It could work. It could work.
Yeah, I don't. You'd have to, I guess, run subtitles for him the whole time because he doesn't really speak English.
But, oh, that costs like 5 cents a pop, probably. They can pay for that.
It would be even better if the subtitles you got were written in the same, like, weird Dupe language that the actual comic characters' language is. So even the subtitles didn't help you because you're like, I don't speak whatever language.
You're looking at him like, oh my God, what is it? Like, whoa, what's going on here? And you're just like looking the entire time. Like, you think you're just, it's basically like the show's Kenny. It's like they're Kenny. Yeah. Like, you can maybe understand what he's saying, but most of the time you're like, yeah, fuck it.
And David could probably understand him via telepathy, so, like, you know, it could work.
Yeah, see, we need to get on the writing team on this shit, because this would be like, most of you'd probably be number one to get on there, but if they include both of us, like, oh my God, they would have.
The laundry list includes us being writers for this show and me being an actor on Star Trek. What are the dreams can we work into this?
Can we be in an X-Men movie or TV show? This cameo.
That would be awesome also.
You could kill me. I don't even care. Like, I could be someone who gets thrown away by a telekinetic. That's fine by me. I mean, as long as I get in. I mean, and always.
I love some of their, going back to Legion here, I did love some of their creative uses of David's powers, you know, like, I love that spinning mass of guards that he like put together there in the last couple episodes when the guys tried to attack the school.
Yeah,
that was pretty amazing.
The guy's reaction too, the half burnt man, his reaction of just shit was pretty damn funny. I'm not gonna lie, that was pretty good. That was well done.
Also, kudos to the show for, like, you know, they didn't have to make that guy in a homosexual relationship, but they did, and I was like, good for you. Good for you for making diversity where, you know, there wasn't necessarily called for, but, like, needs to be, like, to show that, look, it's a normal thing.
Yeah, but it's X-Men, too. I mean, you gotta have diversity in an X-Men, otherwise you're kind of defeating the purpose.
Like, exactly.
Wow. Totally.
Completely agree.
Yeah, so, what do you think, man, of the cliffhanger? Like, how do you think that's gonna tie into season two, and what did you think? Because, if I remember right, it was the floating baseball that abducted him.
It was the what?
That at the end where he got sucked into the machine, David did, at the end for the cliffhanger in the season finale.
Right.
What do you think that's going to tie into for season two? Like, what do you think of that, and what do you think of, like, it's unexplainable maybe, but how do you think it's going to go to season two? Like, what part of the X-Men universe could maybe this tie into?
Yeah, it's a great question, but it's not one that I feel like I really can answer. Like, that's the great thing about this show, is that it sort of defies all expectations, and, like, even if you're somebody who's read the comics, it's not like they're going on script here with something from the comics.
True.
They're really kind of just charting, uncharted territory. And so, yeah, I wish I could tell you, but I don't know. I think that they're doing a good job of keeping it elusive and making it fresh and original in a way that, like, makes you want to watch more of the show. And I think, again, that's why I feel like this show could be liked by people who aren't necessarily fans of the comic books, or even maybe fans of comic book movies.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it does a good job of almost like that, you know, it's like a mystery, like how people loved Lost because you really wanted to know what happens in the end. And I think this show does a good job of asking the right questions and making you want to know what comes next. So
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, we saw the Shadow King escape, you know, but now he's in what's his name's body. You know, what trouble does that spell down the road? I'm curious to know, is Shadow King gonna, like, run and hide now that he feels like he's kinda, you know, been brought down a bit, or is he gonna come back and do something with that?
Yeah, he's 0-2. He's not exactly having a good score here.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, light bulb just popped up. What if we have Forge? What if maybe it was Forge who maybe created something like that and is pissed off at Xavier or something like that, or who knows, like, maybe somehow it's Forge in some sense or a way. That's just me going off a tangent. I mean, it could be. He built some weird shit, so you never know.
That is a character you don't really hear a lot about anymore, so could easily work him in there.
Yeah, I mean, they brought him in, we saw him in Inhumans versus X-Men, and he was taken out, I believe, in one punch, but,
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think if I remember right, he was in there. Yeah, he was in there, but I think it was one punch, because he got it. It was long deal on that one.
Well, he's not much of a fighter. He's a tech guy.
Yeah, that's it. He's your techie. You don't want to get him hit. He's like your medic. Keep him safe.
Right. But, I don't know. I think the show's you know, like I said, it's asking the right questions and it's moving in an interesting direction. And I'll be curious if they actually, you know, again, the thing most people might know about Legion at all, if they know anything, is that he started the Age of Apocalypse universe. So it's like, is that something they're going to pursue at one point, as far as, is he going to have time travel abilities? Are we going to see that time travel? They're already playing pretty loose with the timeline. So that, you know, that could be a part of it. But, you know, that, and I really want to know if is he going to continue to have multiple personalities, and if so, are these multiple personalities all going to have individual power sets of their own?
Yeah, that, who, like, there's so many possibilities on this show. There's so many. Like, it's speculation. I've seen some people on groups and that on Facebook try to speculate, but it's almost impossible, because like you said, you put it clearly, you can't know what to expect. That's for the beauty of this show. Like, you just can't know what to expect. But, wow. Overall, just a great show. And I'm glad you thought so, too. I was hoping. I was, like, thinking, like, oh, my God, what if I love it and he hates it? Like, oh, this is going to be a fun argument on here. Welcome to Comic Chronicle, guys, where this is the Congress edition, where we argue back and forth of how Legion was good / bad.
Right. I'm filibustering, damn it. I think it was fantastic. I have no complaints about it, really. No. I heard one person complain that they felt one of the episodes was sort of a throwaway episode, and I'm trying to nail down which one they were saying it was. I think it was the one where everybody, the first time we see them all in Farouk's version of the mental hospital in the sort of astral plane, and they were like kind of like, not really any new information or story. And I get that, and you kind of see, that feels like it happens often in shows where maybe the writers have, like, a strong idea of where they want the story to go, but they've, you know, they've agreed to do so many episodes that they kind of have to milk it a little bit more, and like, we'll just sort of, you know, kind of rough, you know. So, yeah, no, you know what I did like about it is the length of the episodes. It always left me wanting more, but every time I thought the episode was about to end, and I'd be like, oh, no, it's, like, just getting good, there was more, and I was like, oh, good, it's not over yet. Like, that happened multiple episodes where I just was, like, expecting that they were going to, like, leave you on a cliffhanger, but then they actually keep going and give you a little bit more, but still made it interesting. I really appreciated that.
Mm-hmm. I believe, well, we had a pretty good taste, because if I remember right, the premiere was, like, an hour and a half.
Right.
I mean, so that was a long, I was thinking, like, oh, if this show sucks, this is going to be terrible, when I was thinking about it.
Pretty common these days for, like, pilot TV, you know, TV series. They usually do a little bit longer of a pilot just to, like, really give everybody a sense of what the show's pace and setting and tone is going to be, and then, you know, that makes for people make an easier decision on whether or not they're going to actually pick up the series. So I imagine that was probably the case with this.
Oh, yeah. I actually got two X-Men comic book questions for you.
Shoot.
There are new things. They're recent in the past week.
Uh-oh.
What do you think? Did you hear about... This is spoilers. Like, well, shit, this entire show episode spoilers. What'd you think about the recent X-Men relationship, or did you not know about it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't. You know, the only one that I got from the new series so far was X-Men Prime number one. That's the only one I have.
Okay. We'll go into that, but first, this wasn't in an X-Men book, I guess. Well, sort of it is. Uncanny Avengers, you know how they have mutants on the team and Inhumans and whatnot. The Rogue and Deadpool are now a thing.
Oh, like a couple?
Yeah. They officially, like, they're making out and everything, and I guess it's been confirmed, like, they felt love or something like that now. So now apparently Deadpool and Rogue are a couple.
Here's my thoughts about that, simply because, like, I was actually bringing this up last night in a conversation where a friend and I were talking about, he was asking me my thoughts on the film Logan, and as I kind of stated to you before on a previous episode, that we talked about how I felt some of the violence might be a bit indulgent, and he's like, yeah, but what about Deadpool? And I was like, well, Deadpool is a character where you do want to indulge in the violence, because he's sort of irredeemable. Like, you don't really think that you don't really want to be Deadpool, because he's a psychopath. He's crazy. He's absolutely nuts. And so, like, you know, he is this, like, crazy sociopathic killer, and so you kind of are left just, it's the extremity that he goes to that kind of makes you just laugh, because you don't know what else to do. You know, but if he were a real person, he would be a horrific monster. The idea of them trying to shoehorn a love story into the Deadpool movie was actually the only part that kind of made me uncomfortable. Because, like, you know, you're supposed to be rooting for them at the end, like, oh, yeah, he got the girl at the end, but it's like, but how is that going to work? Because he's, like, certifiably insane now. Like, he talks to, like, the audience because, you know, he's, like, crazy. Like, mm-hmm. to everyone else, he seems like an insane person. How is he going to maintain any kind of normal relationship with another human being when he's, like, off the walls crazy, you know? And so that's why my initial reaction to you telling me that Rogue is dating him is like, why would they do that? Because, again, he can't really, he's not stable enough to be a good partner, so I don't know what the decision making on that is. Plus, how can they kiss without her absorbing his power?
They made it work.
Doesn't matter because of his healing factor, I guess.
What happened was, after this big huge fight with the Red Skull, they beat him and that got Xavier's brain back. And how to put this? Basically, she's told him to shut up because he was trying to talk to her and felt sorry because she almost killed him. Technically Professor X's brain control, but being controlled by the Red Skull. So he went and controlled her. She almost killed him. Like, she almost legitly killed Deadpool. Beat him senselessly. And then afterwards, they drink. But she came up, and he's like, you don't have to feel bad for me, Rogue, or anything like that. She's like, just shut up. And they went and flew up in the sky, and she kissed him, and then they flew back down. And she had his skin face, but he looked normal. And he even gave the impression of, like, hey, I know you may like me and stuff like that, but it's like, you can't handle my mind. I am certified, like you said, he actually said, I am certifiably insane. Like, I'm psychotic. I don't want you to take that, and I don't want you to deal with this. And then they started kissing again, and she's like, I'll be okay, and then she collapsed, and then Wonder Man, I think, popped out of it, if I remember right. because I think she absorbed him at one point. That's how she gets some weird powers now.
Interesting.
Yeah, so they were going off that. So maybe they just did it in, like, a couple panel thing of, like, here, they were a couple, but maybe she was under an influence of some kind or something. I don't know. But at the moment, they're a thing.
And
But
Rogue has also had a history of choosing some pretty weird partners. Magneto and even Gambit, who's not really the most, like, you know, moral person.
He was
the thief after all.
That's another episode for itself. X-Men relationships.
She's got a thing for bad boys.
Oh my god, and apparently older bad boys too. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Oh my god.
Actually established Deadpool's age? I don't actually know.
Oh, shit.
You know, Wolverine is, like, older than he obviously appears to be, and Deadpool has a similar power set, so I don't really know if... His normal age is, you know, from the time period in which we sort of originally saw him, because he was just a guy who had cancer, right, at one point, so...
Yeah, so I think he's probably, like, you know, he doesn't age, I don't think. So I think it's... Oh, God. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Comic Chronicle, where we guess Deadpool's age.
And hopefully somebody in the comment section will be like, you idiots.
Oh, God, yeah, someone's yelling at us. He's going to be, like, probably in his 30s, but someone's going to yell at me and, like, send me flipping off emojis on Twitter or something like that. They're like, he's, like, 50-something years old. Like, all right, Jesus.
I just hope this starts, like, a comment war, and people are like, no, clearly he's 27, and just people just...
Oh, my God. Shit.
how old is Ryan Reynolds? I mean, that dude's in his, like, 40s, right?
Yeah, he's about 40-something. Someone's going to yell at us for this. He's 30-something. Like, oh, God, we can't win.
And he's Deadpool now, so why just say whatever, however old he is. That's how old Deadpool is. The end.
Yeah, pretty much. Easy write-off. I was going to ask you about X-Men Gold, man, but you said you only read X-Men Prime. But what'd you think of that? I heard a lot of negative reviews. People were iffy on X-Men Prime.
I feel like nothing happened in that book.
Yeah.
I feel like it was just sort of a wash of just, you know, just, I was like, bleh, why, what was the point of that? Like, it was pretty, I get that they're trying to, like, set the tone or whatever, but I feel like you could have done a little bit more than just, I'm Kitty Pryde, and I'm kind of sad, and Storm, and blah, 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 and it was just sort of like, oh boy, is anything going to happen here? Are we going to, like, set the stakes at all? And then it's like, nope. It was just supposed to be like kind of like, hey, this is the reason we are a team now, I guess.
Yeah, But I will say X-Men Gold redeemed it. That's one you gotta read. It really redeemed it. Like, to me, it's classic X-Men.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah, especially at the end of the issue, too. I'm not gonna spoil it for you. At the end of the issue, you get a surprise, and you're like, my God, it's like 90s X-Men brought back. But in a good way. In a good way. Because we had some stuff in the 90s that were like, but And it, oh. Yes, so that's it's. Just really, really good on that one. It was so good. I sent because they even have. This is nothing to do with the story. If you want to, they brought back the letters page. So like you, instead of like obviously sending the letter in, because they don't want to do snail mail because it's obviously. So they said, hey, send in the email and we'll put you right up. I mean, other books have been doing it, but like to have an X-Men book finally doing that again, it's like, oh my god. Right. They even said in a note on there, they're like, we want to be classy, so we're doing this storyline with the kind of classic X-Men world and story, and we're doing it. We're also going to bring back the letters page, so send in your comments and send in your, they're taking suggestions at the current moment, too.
Weird.
Yeah, so they said, you get a reward if we like your suggestion. Even if you don't use it, you get a cool reward.
Yeah.
So, well worth checking out, man.
Did you hear all that hubbub over that artist on one of the X-Men books that put in all that anti, you know, sort of
religion,
Jewish and Christian art, like references in his art? Did you hear about this?
I did. I can't remember the guy's name at the moment, but I did. That's very interesting that he got away with that. That's what I'm thinking.
I'm just like, whoever did the research to figure that out, that's what was going on, was like pretty thorough. Like, that's. I wouldn't have got that. It would have slipped right by me.
Oh, yeah. I read it, and I didn't even notice it. Like, you got to really know your stuff to be able to really pinpoint that out. Like, it just... I don't know. I never saw it. I heard about it. I read the issue, and then I went on Facebook. I was reading comics. It was blasting music and reading, obviously. And I was like, okay. And then I went on Facebook, and I'm like, oh, that was a good issue. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, oh, what the hell? And everyone's, like, commenting about it. Like, oh, my God. Wow! Like,
yeah, and I think they said they're gonna like reprint it, right? Without those you know particular things in it, which is kind of cool. I guess the version you have would now be considered a collector's item.
Oh Jesus! thank you, anti-religious man, for making me a millionaire.
In a weird, controversial way, if anybody wants that, I don't know.
Yeah, somebody's gonna want it. Everyone wants. I mean, especially in the X-Men books, like there's so many weird things, you know, that just who knows? Who knows? Wow, it astounds me that Marvel, I like how Marvel's going to reprint it, because that's a very bold move.
Right.
Very, very bold move, but, like, you're doing an X-Men book, and you kind of put those things in there. I don't know, like, maybe he was, do you think maybe he was kind of flipping off his editors with that? Like, kind of like, hey, screw you for putting me on this book or something like that. Like, X-Men's supposed to be about equality and acceptance, but I'm going to put anti-shit.
Yeah, I have no idea, because you're right, yeah, it is just sort of like... Yeah, that is the weirdest book you could have done it in, because this was a story born out of the civil rights movement and is very much about acceptance, you know. So it's like that to put something intolerant in an X-Men book is like kind of like, wow, that was a weird choice of venue for you to do that. But hey, I guess that was the book that he was paid to draw, so that's where he could, you know, express himself creatively.
Exactly. Now, do we want to pinpoint the artist's names? I mean, I can grab the book real fast and see, or do you want to keep his name for under wraps for now? What do you think?
I mean, it's up to you. Honestly, it's not somebody I'm actually even familiar with. I'd never even heard of him before this controversy.
Neither have I. I mean, so we'll leave it under wraps. I mean, I've probably seen his work, but never noticed it before. Like, it's good work.
Yeah.
I like the art. It's really great. But then now you kind of... It's one of those things that you grow up doing... And if you're a guy or a gal, you're like, wow, I should not have made out with this person. It's really bad. That person's dating somebody. But you know what? It was fantastic.
an interesting analogy you've got there.
Hey, we all have different lifestyles growing up. I'm not saying that was me, but I've seen plenty of people do it, let me tell you.
Sure.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that was an interesting one, to say the least. I think I've seen a lot of hate mail towards the man. But interestingly enough, I will say I've not seen as much hate mail for him as people had against Captain America and the Hell Hydra thing.
Right.
Like, oh my god. Ooh.
People are very protective of that character, I guess.
Oh, obviously, yeah. Well, that's all I got, man. I can't think of anything else. You kind of got anything else you want to talk about the world of X-Men?
Yeah, not much. I'm just excited to see what else they're going to be doing with the movies, what else they're going to be doing with the Legion show, and any other kind of projects they've worked up, you know, and the books, the whole relaunch. I'm very curious if old Kid Apocalypse will make it into any of the new lineups. I haven't heard anything confirming it yet, so...
Well, I read all new X-Men. All new X-Men still has him on the team.
Yeah, but doesn't All New X-Men finish now that Hopeless is done with it?
Oh, that's right, that's right. But
they wrapped that up at issue 19 or whatever it was that I got. I got that last issue, but, you know, I don't think they are doing an All New X-Men now. Not that I've heard, you know, since the relaunch of Prime, Gold, Blue, and all those teams.
Oh, well, they technically are in X-Men Blue.
Oh, is the All New X-Men are all there?
Yeah, that's their team. Yeah, that's their team. I think Magneto's leading it, though.
But I just had not heard anything official on whether or not Evan would actually be on the team.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah.
But here's hoping.
Oh, crossing fingers. I mean, that would be...
Yeah, I'm trucking on with my X-Men rap stuff. I've got a show here in Portland coming up on the 22nd of this month at the Analog Theater, I believe it's called. So.
Oh, guys, check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're in the area, check it out. I'm in Phoenix. I can't check it out. I'm very sad, but
yeah,
it's a little bit of a drive.
I would not expect you to jump on a plane for that, but if I'm ever in Phoenix, I will let you know if I'm playing.
Sweet. Well, thank you, man. Yeah, if you're ever in Phoenix, let me know. We'll treat you right down here, let me tell you.
Awesome.
I got a quick question for you, actually, before we go.
Sure.
What do you think about the new X-Men TV show that they got and the other live-action one they got on the works right now with all the, like, recent news and everything on it? What's your take on it?
You know, I'm just such a big fan of the X-Men property. I say, what the hell? The more, the merrier.
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm at. Kind of like I'm hearing Sentinels are in it, Blink's in it, Polaris is in it.
Yeah,
like,
I'm totally fine with that. Let's have it.
Yeah, Polaris is probably going to be the live action's new Magneto, at least maybe. Who knows?
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Basically the same power set.
Yeah, so hey, it works. Wolf, where can people find you at? Like on Twitter or anything like that? Like, where can people go to check out your stuff? Kind of plug away, yep. My friend.
I am on Twitter as @KidApoc, and that is the official Twitter for Kid Apocalypse, the nerdcore hip-hop artist. And you can download my music at kidapocalypse.bandcamp.com, and those are all free downloads. If you also just do a quick Google search for Kid Apocalypse Rap, you'll probably come across a lot of my music videos and the like. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty responsive on both Twitter and Facebook, so if anybody likes to reach out, ask questions, comments, concerns, whatever, I'm usually happy to get back to people.
Yeah, and you can find me at DakotaMorgan3 on Twitter, and you can go ahead and send me a message or whatever you like on there. I'm fully responsive. If you want to send me a message on there just flipping me off and saying that my show sucks, I'll take it, don't worry.
All press is good press.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at least they're responding.
But you gotta find Dakota Morgan 2 and 1 and like kill them like there can be only one sort of.
Oh Jesus! Status. Yeah, there can be only one. Mm-hmm. You know what? Now someone's gonna make @DakotaMorgan1 or @DakotaMorgan2, and they're gonna post like it's gonna be my Bizarro account. They're gonna have so many things going.
I just assumed that's why you're DakotaMorgan3 is because somebody already took 1 and 2. But
no, I just put in a random number. So.
Oh, I see. I see.
Dakota Morgan was already taken, so, I mean, the number just came in there. But now this is probably going to be a thing. This is fantastic. I'm going to get so many weird family members going to be like, hey, why are you on Twitter, like, talking about KKK? What? I talked about the X-Men on a tweet. What the hell?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you, man, for joining me on this episode. I love having you on the show.
Thanks. Yeah. Always happy to be here.
Come back anytime when we want to talk about anything X-Men or if you just want to chat about the comic book world in general. My doors/Skype door is always open.
You know I will. Thanks a lot for having me.
No problem, man. You have a good one, okay?
You too.
Thank you.
Alrighty.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining me on another episode of Comic Chronicle. Now, like I said, go ahead and... You can follow me at DakotaMorgan3 on Twitter if you do want to. If not, I duly understand. Thank you, guys. As always, that was Quinn Allen, a.k.a. Kid Apocalypse, joining us for the episode. So make sure you guys check him out on Twitter and whatnot because he's a good man. He's a good man indeed. Thank you guys for joining me, and stay classy, Xavier's Mansion.